Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Let's talk about debt and deficit. How important are the deficit and debt right now? Some economists argue we should support large deficits because of the economy, and others say, no, it's the worst thing in the world. We're going to look at both sides. We begin with Michelle Sternthal, Managing Director of Advocacy and Policy at the Roosevelt Institute. Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
Good morning. Pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks for taking the time with us. So here's when I was a parent, when my kid's 24 years old now, but when she was younger, I had a choice of not having any credit card debt and her missing out on a lot of different things, and as a family missing out on a lot of different things, or having credit card debt and going through those things. And the reason I bring this up is because I thought, well, you know what? Mm-hmm. She's only going to be 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 or 11 or 12 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And rather than have no credit card debt, I'm going to run some up so we can enjoy that time, and then I'll deal with it later, which I subsequently did. Is that mm-hmm. kind of like almost what we're looking at with the country in a way, as far as you all see it, that you can't worry about that now? Or is it also that increased government spending helps the economy? Break it down for me, yeah, if you will, please.
Sure, it's my pleasure. I like to use a different metaphor. Okay. I would say that in this moment, worrying about deficits when our economy is in free fall, when Louisiana has estimated a $1 billion shortfall, when you've reached almost 8,000 deaths, and when over half of Louisiana renters are not caught up on their house, on their payments, it's like telling firefighters to not put out a burning building because you are afraid that the rugs are going to get waterlogged and ruined.
Okay.
You got to look at what actually is the major threat facing your current moment and what is a theoretical or minor threat. And almost every major reputable economist agrees that now is the worst possible time to worry about the deficit. In no way is it fiscally responsible to cut spending during a recession. It is proven over and over and over again that public investment and spending money is the best way to end recession and actually spur economic growth. So the smart thing to do is to actually spend money, because if you don't spend money, you're going to be shooting yourselves in the foot and making the recession worse. And who are you going to be harming? Louisiana folks and people all across the country.
Spending on what, Michelle? Does it matter?
I think it does matter. Look, I'm not going to be in favor of gratuitous tax cuts, but money for so that people can have food on the table, for rent, cash payments, money critically to state and localities who cannot actually, by law, incur deficits. So right now, as I said, Louisiana risks a $1 billion shortfall. So if states don't get money, if cities don't get money from the federal government, we're going to see healthcare and education on the chopping block. We're going to see massive layoffs, and that's only going to make the recession and economy worse. And during a pandemic, the last thing I want to see is healthcare being cut.
I don't know how familiar you are with what's going on in New Orleans or was going on, but firefighters and police officers were furloughed, actually, as a result of budget issues. When it comes to When it comes to parameters on this, numbers, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the U.S. debt clock right now. Do mm-hmm. you have an upper limit? What drives how much you would spend? I guess is what I'm asking, Michelle.
Yeah.
What would drive that?
Yeah.
What limits are you looking at?
So there has been conventional wisdom. Actually, if you want to break down what are the serious concerns about debt, there is a concern that if you have too much debt, it's going to cause inflation in our economy, you know, and prices are going to spike and we're going to get out of control debt. And interest rates of the debt are going to be so much they're going to eat out the federal government's budget. And in fact, in our current economy, we're actually seeing the flip side of what's happening. We're seeing right now concerns from economists about deflation. We're seeing historically low interest rates. Imagine if I said to you, hey, you can go and you can take out some money right now at 0% interest rate. And you're saying, oh, I could use this for higher education, or I could use this for going and spending. You know, it would be crazy not to take it out. And now if I said to you, if you don't take this out, guess what? You're going to be homeless. You're going to be, and you say, ah, well, I have to be fiscally responsible. I can't take out any more debt. I would say, no, the responsible thing to do is to get your house in order and spend the money, particularly if there's no servicing cost. So I would say when inflation, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please. I didn't mean to interrupt, please.
I was going to say when our economy gets to be too hot, and you'll see this by rising interest rates or rising risk of inflation, then you want to think about being concerned about the debt and deficit. But until you start hearing economists, even people, you know, you see Jerome Powell, who was appointed by Trump, he's saying, spend more money, don't worry about the deficit. You see President-elect Biden, who has not necessarily been the most expansive on spending, saying now is not the time to worry about the deficit. You'll know it. You'll see economic signals showing through risks of inflation when it's time, but now is not the time to worry about it.
Well, we know we began joking around with Dave Cohen, our news director, about divorce, and I was saying, you know, and then I came back and talked to you about credit card debt and the kids' experiences and so forth, but actually, for people that go through life changes, occasionally you have to go through a, you know, thing where you got to load the credit cards up, and you don't want to, but you don't really have a choice, and you're saying that's kind of where we are now as a nation?
And I also would say that the metaphor that the federal budget is like a household budget is actually a false metaphor. The federal budget doesn't not need to be balanced like a household budget. Federal budget, an individual household does not have a central banking system. It can't print its own currency or contribute a quarter of GDP to the economy of its own. So that metaphor about what is, it is certainly important at the personal level to be worried about credit card debt. But the federal government is an economy at a massive level that can print its own currency, that doesn't have to worry about actually getting access to money. So I think those concerns should not be extended. We have to look at it as its own monetary and fiscal system.
Let me take a break. We come back. I want to float an idea by you that I had as it relates to pandemic and businesses, primarily small businesses in this country. I'll ask the audience, if you have any questions or comments, please text them into the whodatlending.com talk and text line at 504-260-1870. And I'll pass them along to our guest, Michelle Sternthal, Managing Director of Advocacy and Policy at the Roosevelt Institute. We're talking about debt and deficit this hour, whether now is the time to worry about spending or not. Michelle says it's not. Next half hour, we'll talk to Chris Edwards with the Cato Institute, who says, yes, it definitely is the time to worry about debt and deficit as we take a look at it from both sides here on WWL. Stay with us. 9:24, glad you're with us on this Wednesday morning, January 13th, already approaching the midpoint of the week, which I guess will happen with Newell around noon today. We're talking about debt and deficit, an interesting hour, and we're looking at it from both sides. The first half hour, we're talking about, well, actually, now's the time to spend money, not to be worried about debt and deficit. And then the next hour, next half hour, rather, we'll talk about the side of it that now is exactly the time to stop spending and to worry about deficit and debt. Michelle Sternthal is our guest, Managing Director of Advocacy and Policy at the Roosevelt Institute. So when it comes to the pandemic, Michelle, these are my thoughts. We spent whatever we had to get a vaccine developed, right? And ostensibly, we should be spending whatever it takes to get it into people's arms. I don't know if that's happening or not. But when it comes to small businesses and compliance, it seems as though we're asking, and there have been stimulus programs, but I don't think they've come anywhere near close to making whole, small businesses whole again. It's more of like an IV to keep them alive, life support. Would it be beyond the pale to consider that the government should make businesses whole if you ask them to shut down in the interest of public health, that the government should replace whatever profits they would have made in exchange for doing what is in the public's best interest as it relates to public health?
So I think you're absolutely right that this is one of the primary roles of the government is during times of crisis, helping businesses, helping people do the right thing. And the government should absolutely be stepping in to support small businesses. Now, I can't speak to your particular policy proposal about profits versus
It's pretty vague at this point.
Right. But I would say absolutely. You know that in Louisiana, 100,000 restaurants have been closed by September. And over 175 Louisianans are out of work. You know, we're going to be concerned about the deficit. When you have people here who are not having any source of income, when you're having restaurants who employ people, who attract business, who help the economy thriving, go and get dissolved or bankrupt left and right. Absolutely, it's a smart investment, and it's something that government should be doing. Supporting small businesses is one of the key things they need to be doing now.
Yeah, we're a long way from policy on that, but it just seems theoretically, I don't know how you would do it. You would have to have it end whenever businesses could resume so people would want to go back to work and people would want to open their doors again. But it just seems like in terms of stimulating the economy or keeping the economy going, go ahead.
You can look at other countries that have actually done this in a far better way than we have, where they have looked at and they have continued to provide payroll support for workers that have actually made businesses whole when asking them to close. So there are other countries that have models of this, which are far, Denmark, for example, that have done this. So it is easily done. I think that there is a failure both of imagination, and I think that there's a failure or a lack of political will to have the government step up and do what's right in these moments to help small businesses. And I think that the policy details can be figured out, but this is absolutely the right way to go.
In terms of equity, I don't know how you can make a case that it's fair to ask restaurant owners to ask, because you don't know what the marketplace would do, right? People may go out and eat, but to ask those people to take it on the chin in the interest of public safety, and while others might not only continue to thrive, but might even prosper as a result of the virus. That just seems terribly unfair to me and not the way it's supposed to work. What about in terms
Absolutely.
Of not spending more, but just changing what we're spending money on now so that we wouldn't increase the debt or the deficit from year to year, but we would accomplish what you're trying to accomplish, I guess maybe the best of both worlds, Michelle?
So right now, the problem that we have, the central problem that our economy is facing in a recession is weak demand. We are not being as productive as we can because we are in a state of a medically induced economic coma because of COVID. At that moment, we need to spend more money. If we're telling businesses, do not be productive, stay at home, but you should still be whole, the only way to do that is to actually spend more money. Because where are you going to take that money from? Are you going to take it from education when they're already taxed? Are you going to take it from police and firefighters? They're being furloughed. These are the moments, the role of the government, and we use this term in economics, it's called counter-cyclical. In moments when our economy is doing badly, it is the government's job to step up and spend more, be that safety net, so that we can get out of it and do better.
So at what point does the warning flag go up where, okay, that's it, we're really getting to the tipping point here with debt or deficit?
So in certain economies, in certain times, debt and deficits are a concern. During the 1970s, you had stagflation, deficits were a concern. Even in the 90s, when you had a very hot economy and the economy was at risk of overheating, you had to be mindful of debt and deficits. The indications, the warning signs for that, as I said before, are going to be rising interest rates, and you're going to see rising inflation. Until you see those things, you have to look at what are the actual risks versus theoretical risks. Like I said, in a burning, in a building that is burning, mm-hmm. you're not going to be worried about whether the rugs are going to be waterlogged. You're going to be worrying about what is the actual need. Now, in another economy, in another time where you have a building that is, you know, perfectly standing and, you know, ventilated perfectly, you might worry about the rugs. But until you get to an economy that is performing well above where it is, where you're going to see rapid growth, you're going to see consumer spending at such a high level, at that point, until you get to that point, you don't need to worry about it. And there are many economists who are thinking about what are the warning signs for us to be looking at. And like I said, they're saying inflation rates, interest rates, looking at what percentage of your the labor is employed. And right now, every one of those indicators is on the other side saying warning signs.
With a new administration, do you think there's any political will for some type of big infrastructure bill to repair the country? Because the infrastructure of the country is not in very good shape. And at some point, I got to believe that's going to come part, and I don't mean a pun here, but crashing down on us, literally, maybe, and figuratively.
Absolutely. I think that I am very optimistic that under the new administration, there is going to be the political will to do smart infrastructure that not only lays a strong foundation for an economy, but also will directly address climate risk that may come from flooding and other factors. And I think that there's a huge opportunity to do investments that are going to pay off dividends in the long run, that are actually going to grow the economy, that are smart.
And you're reading ahead, because
Absolutely.
My next question was,
yeah.
politically, you have to, you know, there's a political concern here, but then there is a pragmatic mm-hmm. concern as well. The oil companies themselves mm-hmm. moving toward less carbon-based investments, I guess, right?
Absolutely. I mean, right now, a lot of the oil companies, and you've seen this in Louisiana, which is a state that has been relying on oil revenue, that fossil fuels are really, in a lot of ways, financially risky and are going to be unstable. And so that you're seeing a trend towards more renewables and less oil intensive. And I think that if we could have government support for that to help that transition get towards alternative renewable energy sources, the good news is that many of those industries are more labor intensive, which means they require more jobs. And they also have the ability to stimulate the economy and actually bring in new investment, something which we need in this moment.
Final thoughts before we let you go?
I would just say it is tempting to default to concerns about the deficit, but we just need to remember that it is the role of our government right now to spend whatever it takes to get our economy through this current recession and beyond, and realize that to go and to address the real human needs that we have, don't overestimate a minuscule risk when you have a major risk, pain, you know, jobs being lost, businesses right in front of us.
I appreciate your time. I really do. Hope we talk to you again.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle. Michelle Sternthal, Managing Director of Advocacy and Policy at the Roosevelt Institute. Now, if you disagree with everything Michelle just had to say, stay tuned, because you're going to hear your side presented with Chris Edwards, Director of Tax Policy Studies at the Cato Institute, editor of DownsizingGovernment.org, to present the other side of this. For those of you texting in about foreign aid, I hear you. But keep in mind, that's less than 1% or maybe 1-point-something% of the federal budget. It's $53 billion, which is not, you know, what's the old joke? Soon you'll be talking real money. But while it does get your ire up, if you're going to look at the pie chart of federal spending, it is a very, very small slice of that pie. 9:35, 25 before 10, time for traffic now on WWL.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.